And our sermon text today is Romans 4, verses 9 through 12. I apologize for having it read verses 1 through 12. That's my mistake. We are actually preaching Romans 4, 9 through 12. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but also who walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. In February of 2010, over $1 million of counterfeit Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Rolex, and Coach goods were seized in an early morning Chinatown raid by the mayor's Office of Special Enforcement. Labeled and branded as high-end fashion and jewelry and perfume, they were destined for the mainstream American consumer as legitimate she-she goods. As one consumer advocate put it, is a $12 fake Rolex valued at $12 or $1,200? One boss in New York related that one of his own technicians proudly displayed his brand new Rolex in the office, which he bragged he had bought for a mere $50. He slipped and inadvertently dropped it on his desk, and lo and behold, it stopped working. The boss hasn't stopped laughing since. It used to be that a brand name seal on a product was a guarantee of its authenticity and performance. That's the essence of a seal of ancient times. And it's the essence of a seal in the Bible as well. A seal is a guarantee of the authenticity of the contents of that which is sealed, and the guarantee of the deliverance of the promise of performance by one making the product. For the makers of Rolex and Gucci, however, that guarantee of authenticity and performance could no longer be assured by the near stamp of the name upon it and the logo. Many of them have therefore resorted to extraordinary means to seal their products, like the silver holographic seal. We've all seen those, haven't we? The sense of seal in our text today as a guarantee of authenticity and promise of performance is precisely what the Apostle Paul has in mind when he speaks of the seal of the covenant of circumcision and, by extension, baptism. As we will see, it infallibly marks the one so circumcised or baptized as one who is authentically in the covenant, and in a real sense, too, and who has promised the performance of the terms of that covenant on their behalf. How is this so? Let's look to our text today, shall we? Verses 4 through 12 here in chapter 4. 2 points I'd like to make with you from our text. The inside flap of your bulletin, you'll find a brief outline if you wanted to take some notes here as well. And first of all, from verses 9 and 10, I would like to make the point with you. Our title is Covenant, Sign, and Seal. As we come to the baptismal font today, we want to have a greater understanding of what indeed is a covenant, sign, and seal. Circumcision And therefore, baptism is a sign and seal of righteousness imputed to us by faith. Point number one. Now, as we will unfold for you, it's not a giant leap, a leap of faith, if you will, that baptism is a sign and seal, even as circumcision was. We'll make this case as we go along as well. Well, our text opens today with Paul in mid-stride in developing his case that justification is by faith alone and not of works, chiefly and emblematically the work of circumcision. His exemplar is none other than Abraham, who believed God and it was counted, or that is reckoned or imputed, as we have many times brought out to you, reckoned or imputed to him as righteousness. That's from Genesis 15 and 6. It was faith, not works, that justified Abraham. It wasn't his circumcision. No man can work to be saved, to have good credit with God based upon his own performance. Even David testifies to this when he rejoices in the Psalms positively in the blessing that his sins are forgiven and negatively in the blessings that his sins are not credited or imputed against him. For the party of the circumcision, who are insisting that this work of righteousness was requisite for salvation, the tendency would have been to answer without hesitation, of course, salvation is for the circumcised. But as Paul is developing his argument, perhaps they're beginning to hesitate and follow that argument, maybe. And so Paul, as a good biblical expositor, leads his students through the logic of the text. And when such a student follows the narrative of Genesis, for example, he sees that Moses declared that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That is, Abraham was justified by faith long before he was circumcised. The rabbis calculate that it was a full 17 years before his circumcision that God appeared to Abraham with this declaration. Therefore, there is no way that circumcision could have been a work of righteousness requisite for justification. If it was true for Abraham, it is true for us. And so the blessing of not having sin imputed to our account, but having Christ's righteousness imputed to our account, is for the uncircumcised as well as the circumcised. Your justification, O forgiven sinner, comes through the instrumentality of faith alone, not through your good works. Let's get that clear to begin with. And so we are confronted once more with this great majestic Reformation truth again on this glorious Sabbath morn. But one might ask what this text might have to do with our chief purpose here today, that is to administer the sacrament of baptism to our newest covenant member, little Odessa Aston. Well, as Paul would say, much in every way. This we saw in our New Testament lesson today from Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12. As much as you might like me to, I'll not bless you with two sermons today, but suffice it to say that by way of reminder, because I've preached this text before as well, that it is at the cross where the sacraments of circumcision and baptism meet as signs and seals of the one great covenant of redemption. Essentially, they serve to signify and seal the same things, circumcision and baptism. The death of the old nature, that is the putting off of the body of the flesh, as Paul says, and the birth of the new life to God in Christ, in our being raised with him to newness of life in his resurrection. Both of these, signified by circumcision in the old covenant and baptism under the new covenant. Well then, what then is a sign and what is a seal? What is a sign and seal? Covenant, sign, and seal. We have to ponder these things here today when we consider baptism. Over the period of 2017 and 2018, Country Health Clinic now located in Pocatello. They used to be in Aberdeen, Idaho. They helped me overcome lymphoma cancer. They took a holistic, naturopathic approach to its cure rather than the chemotherapy and radiation therapy that Big Pharma, Big Med's proprietary cattle call, if you will, for cure. They rather restored my own immune system. There were four major failures in my immune system, which, as it recovered, then fought and defeated the cancer. And I will be eternally grateful for Dr. Claassen and the Country Health Clinic. In fact, when I search online, I look for Country Health Clinic's sign to pop up on my screen or come into view when I drive to the clinic itself as the signs lead the way. When I see their sign, a classic scene of a farm with lush fields, outbuildings in the background, all of it bathed in golden sunlight with Doctor's Country Health banner over it, well, I know I'm at a place of health and wisdom and integrity. And their products to a wide spectrum of health supplements and aids are sealed with a classic seal. And when I break that seal, I know that inside will be the ingredients and formulas promised by the clinic, all of them pure and efficacious. Country Health Clinic has a sign and a seal of my physical healing. In an analogous fashion, but with a much more profound reality, baptism signs and seals the benefits of your redemption and that of Odessa Aston. Each has its indispensable place in the new covenant economy, sign and seal. Baptism is a sign. Baptism is a sign in that it acts, as St. Augustine puts it, as a visible word, a visible sign of an invisible grace, St. Augustine. Baptism is a portrayal of the blessings and curses of the covenant. And it does so both in an exhibitive manner, that is, pointing in the direction of the sacrament's meaning and intent, just like the Country Health sign points to the direction of the clinic. It does so in an exhibitive manner, but it also does it in a communicative manner. That is, baptism itself is a demonstration of covenant blessing. But baptism's efficacy is not automatic. That is ex opere operato. It is not automatic, for the external sign itself cannot produce any effect. Just baptizing here with water without the addition of the word of God would be meaningless. To be effective, the water of baptism must be accompanied by the word of the covenant proclaimed. Augustine is just very eloquent on the sacraments, any of the sacraments. He says, whence has water so great an efficacy as in touching the body to cleanse the soul, save by operation of the word? And as such, baptism is not an empty sign, but rather exhibits and gives the thing it signifies. The grace of God is always at work in baptism. But we are not to seek that grace in the sign itself, but rather be assured that by receiving the sign, that the grace is given by the thing signified, the washing with water. A sacrament employs a simple element, baptism, water. Baptism is also a seal. Baptism is a seal in that it authenticates in a visible way the content of the covenant and its promises. Just as a seal on my supplements is a guarantee that within is what was promised and will be found efficacious to that end, so the seal of baptism is a guarantee that what was promised in God's word is what was promised and will be found efficacious to the end. A seal adds nothing to the content of the supplement, nor does a seal on a document add anything to the content of that document. When administered with authority, however, seals authenticate what is within. So, sacraments are seals added to the word of the covenant without adding anything to that word itself. And when administered with authority, baptism authenticates what is contained within the covenant. Are you a covenant man? Then you will bring your children for baptism. As William Jewell puts it, thus does God make known his secret purpose to the church. First, he declares his mercy by his word. Then he seals it and assures it by his sacraments. In the word, we have his promises. In the sacraments, we see them. Unquote. Very simple. William Sandys puts it this way. He says, God's gifts are sure, with or without a seal. He is one, without change. Yet, to bear with our infirmity and to make us more secure of his promises, to his word he added these outward signs and seals to establish our faith and to certify us that his promise is most certain. Oh, what a blessing is the baptism of our covenant children. The church of the Old Testament counted them, the children, as members of the covenant and administered the sign of the covenant to them, circumcision. The church of the New Testament counts our infants as members of the covenant. We should therefore administer the sign of the covenant to them, baptism. Our infants have the promise of salvation proffered to them. Why shouldn't they receive the seal whereby it is confirmed to them? Our children are of the fellowship of the faithful. Why should they not then be partakers of the sacrament of the faithful? The sign and seal of baptism relies for its authenticity and its efficacy on the faithfulness of the God who promises, not on the faith response of the covenant child. Even the faith response of the covenant child is a gift of God. At the end of the day, the baptism of our infant children refocuses that emphasis on God's covenant faithfulness. It's not about us. It's about him. It is he who promises. It is he who fulfills and delivers. It is God who cut that covenant. It is he who includes our infants in that covenant. It is the God of the new covenant who calls us to sign and seal them. Therefore, we baptize our children, not because we cleverly devise a way, but because we are commanded to do so. With this link firmly in mind, then, we observe the pertinence of baptism to our present topic, that is, justification by faith alone. If circumcision was a sign and seal of justification by faith alone for the Old Testament saint, then baptism certainly is a sign and seal of justification by faith alone for the New Testament saint. If circumcision was right and good and commanded to be applied to the infant sons of the covenant in the Old Testament, then baptism is right and good and commanded to be applied to the infant children of the New Testament covenant. And so we come joyously to the baptismal font this morning to administer this rich and profound sacrament to little Odessa. It signs and seals the blessing spoken of by David, the imputation of Christ's righteousness, the justification of the sinner, not by works but by faith alone. Her baptism today preaches this for every soul here today. And the message is reinforced for us in the following verses too. That brings us to point number two, the covenant sign and seal. Covenant sign and seal, point two, verses 11 and 12. Second point today, circumcision and therefore baptism is a sign and seal of righteousness regardless of when it is applied. Well, we've established that Abraham was justified by faith some 17 years before he even received the seal of that righteousness, circumcision. But he did receive that seal. and he was commanded to place that seal on all of his subsequent covenant sons. That's precisely the mission situation in which Paul and the New Testament believers found themselves as well. We see from the Old Testament narrative in our own text today that adults, that is Abraham, for example, were being called in the Old Testament, and circumcision applied to them and their households. Additionally, adults were being called in the New Testament, and baptism applied to them and their households. We've seen in the past that that word oikos, household, in the New Testament, that Greek word demanded the idea of infant children within the household. The situations are precisely analogous. In both cases, covenant heads of household were being called out of the world, and the sign and seal of that call applied to them and their households. We do precisely the same thing. Covenant heads of households are called out of the world, and the sign and seal of that covenant is applied to them and their household. Baptism is thus a sign and a seal of the covenant. Little Odessa, after today, will bear forever the brand or designer label, if you will, of her creator, a witness before the universe, and also the seal of the quality of her God and Savior, who authenticates the covenant and guarantees the promises made therein. Circumcision was a sign and seal of the justification Abraham had before he was circumcised, just as circumcision was a sign and seal of the justification by faith Isaac had after he was circumcised. For both Abraham and Isaac, circumcision was a sign and seal of their justification by faith alone. So too, baptism was a sign and seal of the justification the Philippian jailer had before he was baptized, just as baptism was a sign and seal of the justification of faith that jailer's infant children had after they were baptized. In both cases, baptism was a sign and seal of their justification by faith alone. Don't you love breaking the seal on items of true quality? There's also a great pleasure and anticipation in it, isn't there? I love breaking the seal of love letters I got from Debbie when we were dating. Couldn't wait to get those. I love breaking the seal on the deed to a new house, or box of chocolate, or fine cheese, or a bottle of scotch. Breaking the seal on an item of true quality is joy and anticipation. This is why the baptism of a covenant child is such a joy and anticipation, and why Odessa will be able to look back with joy and anticipation on her baptism here today. We don't have to postpone the sacrament to some later date when she'll be able to enjoy it, quote unquote, to feel it. No, it's not about her feelings. It's about Christ and his promises. Her baptism authenticates a thing of true quality and guarantees that God will deliver upon all of the rich promises contained therein. And in it, she has sealed to her the thing of greatest quality, her justification by faith alone, as well as all of the benefits of redemption. It is the brand of this great designer, the triune God of the Bible. It is the authentication of the promises of the book, the covenant document of the Bible. Well then, when we say these things, do we mean that these are all hers, ex opera operata? That's a Catholic phrase meaning by the mere working of the work, just because we baptize her? By no means. In fact, this is laid out for us in our text today. Abraham became the exemplar of faith for us all, the father of both circumcised and uncircumcised who believe, not those who work, that righteousness might be counted or imputed to them who believe. We are justified by faith alone. Does this then imply that little Odessa or any covenant child so baptized can take their baptismal certificate out of here and live howsoever they choose in this life? Sinning up a storm, as my Dutch grandma used to say. Don't you go out sinning up a storm, David, or I'll catch up with you, right? And then they wave their baptismal certificate in front of God at the end and say, see, I'm righteous because I was baptized. Heaven forbid. Such a child merely proves his reprobate status, not his elect status. In fact, Paul insists that Abraham is our father in faith for a purpose. Paul insists that Abraham is the father of the circumcised, i.e. also the baptized, who are not merely circumcised or baptized, but who also walk in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Little Odessa is expected heretofore to walk in the footsteps of faith. I will, and her parents will, exhort her. Make good your baptism, little Odessa. And you, the rest of you Aston boys and girls, make good your baptism. This was expected of the children of Old Testament covenant saints. And it is expected of the children of New Testament covenant saints. Just as the Old Testament child was expected to live the life of one whose heart was circumcised as well as their flesh, so too the New Testament child is expected to live the life of one whose heart is baptized as well as their flesh. That's the place for works after regeneration. This is the place for performance in the living of a life of righteousness that proves the seal. Make your baptism good. The quality of the promises in the covenant will be matched in the true saint by the quality of the life so lived in the saint upon whom the seal is made. We fully expect Odessa to walk in the footsteps of the faith of Abraham and the footsteps of her brothers and sisters as well, for that matter. How about you? Today, O worshiper, have you personally come to the place in your life where you see the need for your salvation? Christ will do it as you believe in him. Do not trust in works that you think will bring you into the good standing of God. Trust in the work that Christ has already done on your behalf in his life, death, and resurrection. As Paul would say, we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. And when you so believe, then we exhort you to come forward to the baptismal font to receive the sign and seal of redemption. Or how about you, O worshiper with unbaptized covenant children? Have you come to see that this rich, profound, and blessed sacrament is far more than an outward sign of an inward change? Perhaps you have come to see it as the sign and seal of justification by faith alone, plus all of the rich benefits of redemption. If this is so, then you too are bound to come forward to have you and your household marked with a mark of water baptism and sealed with the seal of water baptism. Whatever may be the case with you, O worshiper here today, there are two among us who are under the constraint of the gospel to be obedient. And so, Matt and Holly, please come forward with your covenant child, little Odessa Aston.